Good evening, everyone.
To everyone that's braved the weather, that's here in person, to those online, welcome to Little Hill Church.
I'd like to thank the Lord for the grace that he has given for us to be here this evening.
And I just want to acknowledge the privilege that God has also given to commune with you wonderful folks today in Little Hill Church.
My name is Kenny,
and I would like to formally thank everyone for the warmth and affection that you all have showed to my family and I since we started coming to
Little Hill Church. It's been an absolute blessing
to be amongst wonderful brethren.
I know we're all wretched sinners saved by grace, so it's amazing that there are people that the love, the joy, the peace of the Holy Spirit is working through to bless others. Thank you. And I'd like us to kick the service off in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for yet another wonderful Sunday that you've guided us to. Lord, we pray that even as we commune at your feet this evening, we pray that, Lord, we will decrease even as you increase to the praise of your glory. And we pray that the speaker, Dalton, will not speak with the eloquence of human wisdom, but he will speak the word in truth, that your word, which always bears fruit, will bear fruit in the lives of those that hear it, that they will be as good soil, bearing 30, 60, 100 fruit, even to the furtherance of your glory and praise. In Jesus' name. So the psalm we're going to be reading from is Psalm 30. It's a very, very rich, beautiful psalm. A Bible teacher described the psalms as a hymn book, H-I-M book, H-I-M book, hymn book for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus did declare in Psalm 47 that I come in the whole volume of the book because it's all about him from the beginning to the end. So I'm going to read from Psalm 30. It's a psalm that was written by David himself at the dedication of the temple. And I read, it has 12 enriching verses. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought me up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life among those who go down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face. I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cry, and to the Lord I plead for mercy. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Amen. So we're going to be reciting the from Christian Hymns 664, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. It's an amazing, amazing hymn written by Chris Rice in 2001, just over two decades now. So, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. So please let us stand to share the hymn. Such a wonderful hymn, such a powerful hymn, prone to wander, prone to leave. But we thank God that we're sealed by the wonderful Holy Spirit for eternity, by the power of the Most High God. So we're going to read the next Bible reading from Matthew chapter 6, from verse 5 to 15. Matthew 6, from verse 5 to 15. It's a very familiar part of Scripture. Oftentimes, it's the part of Scripture that are most familiar, that do have deep biblical truths that are often missed. So let us open our hearts, even as we hear God's word, and be blessed from this very familiar passage. So Matthew 6, from verse 5 to 15, I read, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Our next hymn will be taken from Christian Hymns 125, "Immortal Honors Rest on Jesus' Head." Immortal honors rest on Jesus' head.
Rest on Jesus' head.
richness of the hymns cannot be understated. God has saved us from eternal death, self-destruction, and worldly despair. I was speaking with a Bible teacher recently, and he made it known to me that many years ago in the UK, when people couldn't read or write, they had to learn their theology off the hymns. And it's a very powerful reminder that these hymns that the Lord Jesus has left to us providentially are to encourage us so that we remember the truths of Scripture and are encouraged in them. Wonderful, wonderful hymns. So for the notices, for tomorrow, the 21st of February, there's the church council meeting for the elders and deacons. Let us pray for them, even as they meet to deliberate on the future direction of God's church in line with Scripture. And the meeting kicked off with the historical lecture with Leslie Rowe coming up at 7:30 here in the church building tomorrow. Promises to be very exciting. Is it next? 28th, sorry. 28th. Coming up 28th of February. Promises to be a very interesting lecture. The story of the great ejection of 1662. So it's fascinating to always connect with history. And it's the 28th of February at 7:30 in church. Then on Thursday, there's fellowship at 7:45. Promises to be a fun time to commune in God's presence, even as we hear his word preached with boldness and strength aligned with God's will. On Friday, not to forget, we have the Seniors Friday Fellowship coming up at 11:45 a.m. and also for meals as well. So please do note that date. 25th of February, it's a special day to me, it's my birthday. I am 43 years young, so I look forward to the 25th of February every year. I'm always buzzing on the day, and my wife knows that I buzz even twice on that day. On the 26th of February at 9 a.m. is prayer focus here in church as well. A Bible teacher once remarked that prayer and Bible reading, it's like breathing in and breathing out. You can't do one without the other. So please let us make ourselves available for such a wonderful time in God's presence. And let us also pray for the international students' visit coming up next Sunday. It's amazing that our pastor speaks with boldness and is faithful to Scripture. And we pray that he will remain faithful and strong in Scripture, declaring the truth in love. And Simon Chadler will be here next Sunday as well from 5:30 in the evening from Glen Club Church. Let us pray as well for him as he comes to preach to us. So it's time for the intercessory prayer, so let us pray.
Right, well, and thank you, Kenny. Excellent. Nice and quick and to the point. You make people like me think, you know, taught me an awful lot the way you led. That's great. Thank you. And our next hymn is the hymn My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. And it's with a new tune, Cornerstone. Some of you may be familiar with that. Maybe if Jan just plays the tune through just for a little bit, just so we get to know it. And then it will be projected up. Is that okay? Thank you.
Thank you.
God, we thank you for all that you are. We thank you, Lord, that you're a great God. And we thank you for saving us. We thank you for the testimony that we've just heard. And we thank you, Lord, that some of us can think of a time when we were far in darkness and brought us into your most marvelous light. And we thank you, Lord, that we can look back and thank you for all that you have done. And we just pray now that we will know a sense of your presence with us, even this evening. On this cold, wet night, we pray that we will know a sense of the warmth of your presence and really the joy of just knowing you as our Lord and Savior. Speak to us, we pray, through your word, for Jesus' sake. Amen. For the benefit of any visitors or those online, my name is Dalton. I'm one of the members here. We had a little bit of a longer pause for those of you online. One of our members was saying really how she came to know and love the Lord Jesus. And again, due to confidentiality and mentioning of names, we didn't want to broadcast some of that as well. Right, so if you'd like to turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, we've come to the next part of the Lord's Prayer we've been looking at, and it's been real a quite blessing to a number of us. Barry, I thought, was very practical the other week, the last time Barry did it, right down to the food bank. Barry had a photograph and he was saying how practical what we must be like, and I thought that was really great what Barry did. Well, this time round, we'll be looking at our verse in verse 12, as you can see it on the screen there. And it's these words, "And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." Here was our Lord Jesus, as we know, speaking to his disciples. And I deliberately said to myself, I'm not going to make the mistake of trying to recap and trying to say what everybody else have said. So I'm just going to try and stick to this verse. And it's interesting how it begins. Part of the Lord's Prayer as he comes to this portion. "And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." Now, one of the first things I think we've got to make sure and make clear, we're not talking about money here. This is not monetary debt. Now, some of us, you'll know what it's like to be in debt, maybe. Maybe some of you might know that, some of you may not. I used to remember when I worked at the bank, working in the mortgage arrears area, boy, we used to see lots and lots of people that owed thousands and thousands of pounds. Sadly, I work in the bit where if people didn't pay, we used to take the houses from them, and that wasn't very nice at all, taking houses away. And sometimes you could see people in great debt. Now, even though my manager, as well as me, we could write X amount off. I don't know what mine was, 10,000, 20,000, I could write off. But even though I could have written it off, there still would remain a mark on that file that that person has been in debt. But as we look at this, I want us to see it here that, as I've already mentioned, we're not talking about monetary, we're talking about sin. And in fact, in another model prayer, if you look in Luke chapter 11 and verse 4, we have it clearly there, and it's worth just turning to, if you're able, just for a moment, to Luke chapter 11 and verse 4. We find there how instead of the word debt, it doesn't use the word debt there in Luke 11:4. "And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves..." Sorry. "And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation." So it's important that we make that point. We're not talking about monetary. So what we're going to do very briefly this evening is we're going to look at the word, three things we're going to look at. The first word we're going to look at is the word we've got there, forgive. And that word, forgive, we find it means in the Greek, aphemi. And what that means is to throw away, to cast off, to forget. And very often, if we're all honest, we may talk about forgiveness, and we may say to one another, we've forgiven you, but to be honest, we're still holding on to whatever that whatever they've done to us, if they've wronged us, we're still holding on to it. And it's important that we see that when God forgives, he really does forgive. And we're going to see in a moment how he wipes our sins away, no more to be remembered. But so often, and Jesus, he knew what the Pharisees were like. We often find in scriptures the Pharisees being described as hypocrites, because they would often say, you know, put on the holier than thou attitude. So it's important that we see this word aphemi, to cast off, to forget, to throw away. And if we look a bit more into scripture, and it's lovely, 1 John 1 verse 19, we find our Lord Jesus, here John, saying in 1 John 1 verse 9, and this was the verse that led me to the Lord all those over 40 years ago at the Boys Brigade camp. I could remember the Wednesday walking into the preacher's tent, and he gave me this verse of scripture. And for me, that was a great sense of relief. That was a great sense of, wow, can God really do this? And yes, he can. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. And what I wanted to do, which I didn't say, my three points. The first point is confession. And we've got to see that when we come in prayer to God, and I don't say this in a way of criticism, but so often we have to come, surely, with a sense of, you know, acknowledging the goodness of God and thank him for all that he is. You know, so often we can have a long list, can't we? I do. I have a long list. And sometimes I think, oh, you know, wait, leave the list. And sometimes a list can get in the way of us sort of thanking God for all that he is and for all that he's done for us. Now, sometimes we need the list to guide us in prayer, but we don't want to allow lists and things to get in the way. We want to thank him. There should be that sense of confession. Lord, thank you, I'm alive. Do you ever thank God the fact that you're alive? You're breathing, all that he gives to us. You know, we go home this evening. You know, dare I say, we turn the tap and we expect what? Water. Thank God for water. You know, I used to remember when Lydia was in Nigeria, sometimes certain parts, it was hard. There were people having to walk and travel for a long way to pick up water and some of these things that we sometimes take for granted. So the first part, forgive. It's a good way to start. And it's a way of saying, Lord, you know, without you, we can do nothing. It was good. Our sister shared with us. You know, there were times when it seems as if the Lord's not answering. Well, we've got to keep on praying on, don't we? Sometimes you think, you know, where is he? Lord, are you there? Well, he is there. But the thing is, the Lord will only answer in his time. And sometimes you and I will sort of say now, don't we? We want now, but sometimes the Lord says wait. So it's a good way of remembering. When we come to the Lord in prayer, this sense of confession and this sense of thankfulness. But let's just have a look still on the confession. Let's look at something that's not really a prayer. Let's Luke chapter 18, verse 11. We know the story there. Here was a Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisee and the tax collector, sorry. Well, let's turn to it in Luke Say Luke. It's not Luke. Yeah, Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Here was, and this is why, as we look at the prayer, as we look through the Lord's Prayer, and if you think the people that the Lord was aiming at, yeah, the Lord was talking to his disciples, he was teaching them, but he was aware of the culture, the sort of people. And here we have typically the sort of people, what they were like, the Pharisees. Look, verse 11. Again, it's familiar, we all know. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Hey, what? It's not prayer, is it? Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like the tax collector. Dear me, it's no prayer, is it? Or even like the tax collector. And he then goes on to describe all the things that he does. Well, I fast twice a week. Wow. I give tithes to all that I get. But the tax collector, I wonder if this is us. This is how we feel, is it? This is how you feel? This is how we should feel? But the tax collector, standing where? Afar off. Hey, would not even look up his eyes to heaven. He felt so sinful, so unworthy. He couldn't even look up. And here's this Pharisee. Oh, I can look up, I can do the lot, you know. Oh, how careful we must be. Not even look up his eyes to heaven. But look what he did. But beat his breast, saying, sorry, I'll probably cause all sort of problems. Beat upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What a prayer. What a prayer. And this is why, you know, we're talking about confession. This is why, it's so, when we come before God, let's just realize who we're coming to. He loves us. He cares for us. He knows what we're going to say. But he still wants to hear his people to say it. So there should be this sense of confession. And I want you, thirdly, just to notice that this forgiveness, it requires, on our part, total repentance and faith in Christ alone. You know, if we've messed up, and do you know what? We've all messed up. Dalton King messed up. You've messed up. But if we come with repentance, contrite hearts, saying, Lord, I've messed up. I want you to forgive me. I'm not going to go back to that ways. I'm not going to go back to that thing that drags me down. Lord, I want to follow you. There must be that repentance. Because if we haven't got that repentance, you know, you're just going to keep going back. You're just going to keep feeding the flesh. And if you feed the flesh, it will grow. So, confession. And we know all too well, you think of David in Psalm 51. Lord, before you have I sinned. My sin is ever before me. He really wanted to come before God, didn't he? And all of us surely want to do that. So, we've got confession, forgive. But the prayer, it goes on, doesn't it? Because it says, and forgive us our debts. Now, I'll do my best. I won't be repeating what I've already said. Our sins. That's what we want God to forgive us for. Because day by day, we're forever, sadly, we're failing. And that's our charge. That's the charge, isn't it? The debt. None of us like debt. I remember when I had my first house, we don't get it so much now. I used to get a blue bill, and when it was blue, it was, oh, that's not bad. But when it got to red, oh dear me, I had to do something about it. I either had to, the bank of mom and dad, or whatever. Never liked it to be red. And, you know, it's a charge, isn't it? It's a debt that I want to get rid of. And maybe today, you know, one of the sad things, again, sorry, working at the bank in the arrears department on the mortgage side, also on the credit side, credit card side debt, you know, responsible for, you know, making sure we keep the level of arrears down. Some of the people that was calling in, you know, you felt for them. You know, and sadly, I haven't got it. I meant to have a credit card, but sadly, people have these credit cards. And, you know, the way it's the thing, you know, it's not money. And they keep using it. And the worst time would be January, February time when people are completely in debt. You know, don't know what to do with themselves. Now, let's all be careful. Yes, in our living, let's be responsible in managing our debt. But more than that, bigger than that, let's be responsible in coming before our God, saying, Lord, I've messed up. I really want you to forgive me. So the second thing I want you to notice with the debt is the charge. And what is the charge? Well, what is the charge? Well, we know what the charge is, don't we? Romans 6:23. The wages of sin, what you and I deserve, is death. That's as, it's as stark as that. It's as straight as that. The wages of sin is death. Yeah, my debt. But it doesn't finish there. Praise God. Love the buts. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And, you know, we thank God that even though we've messed up, we thank Him that there is, under charge, secondly, forgiveness that we can know in Christ. So that when Christ, when we're forgiven, and I love this, I put this down and, you know, it came to me last week. Forgiveness removes the requirement to pay the penalty of sin. Hey, are we going to God regularly? Keep short accounts. It's important. Keep short accounts with God. You know, don't let things just drag on. Don't keep in the mire of sin. We need to throttle it. If there's something that's dragging us down day in, day out, throttle it. Because if you don't throttle it, it's going to throttle you. Seriously. Let's deal with it. Let's do it with God's help. And it's such a serious, you know, we come to it. It really is. We talked about the confession. We talk about the debt. And we talk about ultimately what, you know, that charge, that it's separation from God for all eternity. But praise God, we can know this forgiveness in our Lord Jesus. And it's wonderful. And then, even though I said the charge, it's lovely to think in Romans 8:33, thirdly, under this point, who shall lay anything, it says here. Well, let's turn to it. It's lovely. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? And I love it. So even though the devil will come and even tell us, oh, you're not a Christian, you're not, you know, all sorts of doubts and, oh, it doesn't matter and all this, you know, we know we're safe in the arm of the Lord. He keeps us to the end. But that shouldn't make us slothful. And I love this, Romans 8:33, ultimately for the Christian. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. And then we have these wonderful words. Well, I'll read it. It's lovely. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, these terrible things, what's happening in our world? You know, incredible. And we should pray on for these things, the situation in Ukraine and Russia. Pray that there'll be lasting peace. Thank God for those who are working hard to bring about peace. But ultimately, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword and so on. None of these things, later on it says, shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So yes, there must be that confession. Secondly, there is a charge. And we know what that charge is. We've seen it. It's up on there. It's serious. But we thank God that even though there is that charge, when we know and love the Lord, if we come in true repentance, we can know that sense of our sins forgiven and us being right with God. And then, forgiveness of sin. Got to have this. And we all want to be released from our debt, don't we? The forgiveness of our sins. When you, if you happen to pay your mortgage off, before you pay your mortgage off, the bank used to hold your deeds. Well, it's all online now. So those of you, if you paid off your house a few years ago, you'd probably get a great big wad of paper deeds that they sent to you because the bank says, no longer have we got a charge on your house. You've paid off. The charge has been removed. And do you know what? In a lovely way, in the same way for us. And again, I know I've said it already. It's wonderful to think of this, to think that when we're forgiven, we're being released. That the Lord Jesus, he released us from that debt, that charge. That's our sin that so messed us up. And yes, we've got to keep going back and we keep going back. But you know, what a God. You know, when you think that as far as the east is from the west, it says, and I can never get my head around it. It's incredible. So far as he removed our transgression. You try and measure it. You can't, can you? As far as the east is from the west. And in Micah chapter 7, and I think it's verse 19, talks about he's buried them in the sea. No more to be remembered. What a God. So, that's the second part of the prayer. And then, thirdly, I want you to notice, so we've got the confession, the charge. But then thirdly, I want you to notice, it says here, and there is a condition, thirdly. What's the condition? It says, we also have forgiven our debtors. Now, what the Lord was teaching here to his disciples and to us, it's no good us keep running to the Lord as, oh, the Lord's forgiven me and I feel good and, you know, I'm all right now. And when really we've got our brother in the church or wherever, where we're still harboring grudges. And that's something with us all. We've got to, you know, get rid of that because that can hinder our walk with the Lord if we're not right with one another. The condition here, we also have forgiven our debtors. Others of people who have wronged us, people who have misunderstood us. And we've all been guilty of that, all of us, myself included. We mustn't hold on to things. We must be willing. Remember the word, what we said, what was that Greek word that we use? Who can tell me, what was a Greek word? Sorry? Aphemi, that's right. And what does that mean, John? To get rid of, to forget, not to hold on to. And in the same way, we're praying to the Lord, expecting the Lord to forgive us when we're still holding on to, you know, that grudge, that we're not willing to forgive somebody else. I nearly said it's a two-way thing, in a sense. And again, thinking about the crowd, the people, the Lord is saying, don't be like the Pharisees. They're hypocrites. One hand, they're saying how good they are, and they're the best, when really, they're no better than anybody else. And this wonderful condition, and I've already mentioned this verse. If you do not forgive, if you get back to, if we look at the Matthew in verse 15, we've got the condition there, don't we? For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But, what we said about the condition, but if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. And that's quite serious. How often do we look at it in that way? You know, don't harbor things.
And, you know, the Lord says, and it's important, when we see this, you know, we must have that spirit of forgiveness. And it's important. And I love it. Peter, in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, Peter says, "Well, Lord, how often should we forgive our brothers? Seven times?" No, the Lord said, 70 times seven. Good old Peter is quick, isn't he? Yeah. And the idea of 70 times seven is sort of, well, sometimes we have to keep on and keep on. Let's not hold on to grudges, you know, bearing grudges and not speaking with one another. That's not good. It's not good. And the Lord says in Micah, not Micah, "He will not hear us if there's iniquity in our hearts." I can't read the bit where I put that down. Maybe it will come to me in a minute. If there's iniquity in our hearts, He will not hear us. This is why whenever I do communion, I can't just carry on. I always have to have a pause. I think it's important we have a pause. And we say, before we move on, are we right with one another? How are we doing? Are we? Because the Lord will not hear us if we're still harboring in our hearts things that are not right with one another. And sometimes it's good just to take stock, just to slow down. And maybe all of us, this is very searching, because I see areas in my life I need to deal with. You know, we mustn't hold on to things that, you know, no matter how much we may feel we've been wronged or misunderstood. We've got to put things right. And the Lord says he will not. That's it. Jeremiah. I have got it down here. Jeremiah 31 and verse 34. "For I will forgive their iniquities." No, that's not. Yeah, okay. It is. "For I will forgive their iniquities and I will remember their sin no more." What a God. And Peter, yes, he says, how often? 70. And the Lord says, yeah, 70 times 7. And then Peter, he looked. And the idea of looking, suddenly realized, well, actually, yes, we've got to keep on forgiving. We mustn't give up. And may the Lord make us all be like that. Want to be those who go the extra mile. That was the verse I was looking for. But then, as we draw to a close, Micah 7 verse 19, what the Lord says, still at this condition, "He will have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea." Micah 7 verse 19. That was what I was looking for earlier. What a God. No more in the bottom of the sea. And it then leads us on to this final bit. I love this. For all of us tonight. For all of us. Look at this. Ephesians 4:32. May that be our watchword as we go into 2020. 2022, boy, Dalton, you've lost it. Yeah, I'm blaming the dentist. So the dentist on Wednesday, I was saying to Vakir, drilling and all sorts. "Be kind, one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." Ephesians 4:32. May that be all our watchword tonight. Hope you've all been able to hear me. I hope probably been a bit all over the place, but there we are. The Lord knows. Day by day, He wants us to be those people who are kind-hearted. Let's be willing to go the extra mile for one another. Amen. We'll close by singing our final hymn. Yes, finish. The Messiah dies. I love it. Wonderful. Some of the words there, absolutely incredible. I think it's verse 3. Can we just get on, just hold it there. And I'll probably say the verse 4 as well. "The reign of sin and death is done. And all may live from sin set free. Satan and his pretended throne are swallowed up in victory. Saved from the curse of God I am. That's what we are. We're saved from the curse, people. My Savior hangs upon a tree. See there the meek and silent lamb. His final breath he breathes for me. Incredible. His final breath he breathes for me. He breathes for us. Such love. Hey? And then verse 4, please. In Christ accepted. Praise God. You're accepted tonight if you're a child of God. And brought near. We're not only brought near, but look at it. We're clothed in righteousness divine. Nobody can take that away from us. I see the path to life made clear. And all your merits, Lord, are mine. Isn't that wonderful? You think of the merits of the Lord being credited to my account, to your account. My head can't get it. This is wonderful. Death, hell, and sin are now subdued. All grace is now to sinners given. And so I plead the atoning blood. And by your gift, receive your heaven. Well, I make no apologies for reading that through. It's so wonderful. Well, let's really sing this prayerfully and meaningfully. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you can say, it is finished. No, nothing more to be added. It's done. We thank you, Lord, for the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. We pray now that you'll part us with your blessing. And Lord, keep us ever looking to you day by day, moment by moment. For Jesus' sake, amen.